Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. In the fall, there were concerns raised about the removal of sand willows on the west headlands of Cobourg Harbour. This was a green space located behind the storage area for the Dragon Boat and Canoe Club. This launched a reaction from an organization called Preserve Our Heritage Harbor, a group of concerned citizens dedicated to the protection of the natural aspects of the headlands and West Beach. On today's show, Richard Pope, an advisor to the group and an active advocate for the harbor, will talk about what has happened and the future of this green space. The group hopes to get a voice in any further plans going forward. I'm so pleased to have with me today Richard Pope, an advisor to the Heritage Harbor Group. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you.
Your group is worried about some things taking place in the harbor in Cobourg. Can you give us an overview of your concerns, just to start with the big picture?
Well, the big picture is simply that we have a gorgeous harbor that everybody loves. No matter what day of the year, or how cold or how wet it is, there's people down there drinking their coffee and staring at the harbor. The boardwalk is used incredibly heavily. If you had one of those things to monitor the number of people, you'd be astounded how many people walk the boardwalk. The boardwalk goes right across our new waterfront nature park, which includes the West Beach and the headland, the West Headland or the West Pier. And a lot of people love this area, and everybody would like to see it treated well and respected by the town, kept natural, improved, made nicer. And the fear is always that, little bits of nature anywhere in the world are surrounded by people that are keen to put up buildings and pave things, make parking lots. So the people that are sort of this informal committee are just very interested in making sure that the town, for whatever reason, doesn't move against nature down here and spoil what's already a very nice thing. We want to be involved. And as you know, Cobourg doesn't always do a stellar job of involving the public in decisions before they're made. And we're often faced with a fait accompli. And so we're trying to head that off at the pass and make our voice heard. That's essentially a voice to protect what nature we have left in the downtown core of our town, which is unusual to have something that nice as our harbor and our headland and our West Beach in a town surrounded by development. Usually these things get gobbled up. Toronto had to build the Leslie Street Spit to make one because their whole waterfront had been ruined.
You've said a lot, and I'd like to start to deconstruct a lot of that. How did you find out about the recent removal of the sand willows on the West Headland?
Well, I found out the maybe a week or so in advance. Right near at the 11th hour, I found out it was going to happen. Ideally, we would have known about this for months and we would have been able to put in our 2 cents worth. But the town on its website announced 2 or 3 weeks before they did it that this was going to happen. And since we have no local newspaper, unless you are somebody of an age that watches websites and follows everything very closely, you wouldn't have known about it. Most of the councillors didn't know about it. Nobody I knew about it. When we found out about it, it was too late to put in our oar and have some kind of say and maybe have them mitigate what they were going to do.
I understand, too, there was some dredging took place. Is that true?
Well, yes, the dredging isn't the problem. I mean, we have a harbor, which is a recreational harbor, and it gets silted in every year. I mean, the Scarborough Bluffs are going to continue to erode into eternity, and the west, the currents coming from the west to the east come along to all the harbors on the north shore of Lake Ontario, and they J in through the opening where the boats go in and out and then swing around, and the sand comes in on a year-round basis into our harbor. So to keep it from filling up, literally, I mean, there are times when the gulls and the are standing and they're only in an inch of water. This ruins dragon boating, kayaking, sailboating. So you need to keep a harbor dredged. But there's dredging and there's dredging. In the old days, we used to take the sand out into the lake and dump it. You're not allowed to do that anymore. For a long time, we've been taking it over onto our east beach and enhancing the sand there. But there's so much sand that it's difficult to get rid of it. And to get rid of it, they decided what they were going to do was knock out this little natural area of swamp, wetland, and sand, and take all the willows and the vegetation out, and drive the big trucks in and out onto the West Headland and get rid of the sand that way. We think it could have been done differently, but that's what the town did. And it was to get rid of the sand. And none of the naturalists have an argument with dredging. That has to be done to make the harbor available to everybody. But you don't have to necessarily take the sand out through the nature park or through naturalized areas.
So why then is it significant that we lost these sand willows? Is that something specific or is it part of a bigger picture?
Well, it's specific in the sense that, in downtown areas, in downtown Toronto and downtown Chicago and downtown Los Angeles, you don't see a lot of the color green. And here we had this little green enclave down in the heart of our harbor. And to see that diminished gives naturalists a bitter feeling. I mean, it's as if, the idea of trying to get rid of anything that's managed to naturalize itself and turn green and have flowers and shrubs and frogs and toads and things like that, birds nesting. You want to protect, at least we want to protect something like that rather than see it eradicated, which essentially it was. It was eradicated, that whole corner was simply raised, heavy equipment was introduced, trucks were in and out, getting rid of sand that has to be got rid of, but it could have been done, we think, differently. And the naturalists are always loath to see any little green area in a downtown area diminished.
If I heard you correctly earlier, you said there was some suggestion that politicians didn't even know about this. How do you know that's true?
Well, I asked a lot of them. I said, this was not done by an act of council. It was done by the town, and it was a town.
What does that mean when you say the town? What are we talking about?
Well, what we're talking about is nobody got into the council and made a proposal to do this, and asked the councillors to vote on it, and it was not passed as a motion. It was simply done, public works and the different staff areas of the town. Often do things, and it doesn't always have to be with the knowledge of the councillors and approved by the councillors. In this case, it certainly wasn't. It caught everybody sort of by surprise. And in retrospect, that was probably not the best way to go.
What were their reactions when you approached them and said, what's going on and why did you do this?
Well, it's sort of the reaction in a way is none of your business. You know, the town the town staff are busy, hardworking people, and they have a lot to do. And when a directive comes to you to do this, you want to get on with your job, and you don't want people like me asking you at every step of the way, why are you doing this, or couldn't you be doing that? People want to get on with their work, In Cobourg, as long as I've been here, 20 years plus, the idea has been to try to get things done, without the public knowing everything in advance. That hopefully is changing, and the town is becoming more aware of the fact that the public wants a say. But, you know, from the point of view of busy staff fulfilling jobs, like if you're told to get rid of the boardwalk and replace it, you want to get at it. You don't want someone like me telling you, don't go too far off left and right. There are valuable plants here, and we don't want this disturbed, and we don't want that disturbed. You want to get your job done. And it's much easier to just get it done quickly before people get their oar in. And I think that's sort of the dynamic. The public wants more say. The town finds it easier to carry projects out if the public isn't interfering. And that leads to this breakdown, in which sometimes causes bad blood.
But when you approach the politicians, how did they respond?
Well, the politicians respond differently. I mean, as you'd expect, there are seven people on the council, and some people thought that this was fine, and other people were horrified. People who are naturalists and gardeners and people like Miriam Mouton, Councillor Mouton, for example, was horrified and has been very upset by it. You know, some other councillors, not so much. You know, I mean, you never get a council of a mayor, deputy mayor, and five councillors who all think the same thing. You have to have votes. And this was never put to a vote to see whether it would be 5-2 or 4-3 or what. It never got voted on. And in retrospect, it perhaps would have been better if the issue had been aired publicly and then voted on. And if we got voted down, then you stop beefing. I mean, the council has democratically decided they're going to go ahead. Okay. But that didn't happen. And in retrospect, I think most of the people that are so upset on this sort of unofficial committee think they should have been consulted. We should have known about it.
Over the years, there have been countless reports on the marina and the harbor area. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everything from the East Pier to the deteriorating walls and within the harbor. There's the new boardwalk for the West Beach. Did none of these point to the possibility that anything would be done with this particular area? Like, is there no action plan?
Well, not really. There, the Parks and Rec, when we had the area of the West Beach and the headland and the boardwalk deemed a waterfront nature park, the Parks and Recreation Committee put forth a fairly elaborate plan, suggestions on what could and should be done and how to do it. And what order to do it in. And many of the waterfront, various waterfront plans have suggested these things. But, you know, as long as I can remember, going back into the 1990s, there have been plan after plan after plan about the waterfront and this whole area. And plans just don't always get carried out and fulfilled. So there are plans, but you say an action plan. Well, if there's an action plan, it hasn't had action taken upon it. That's the problem. We would like to see many of the recommendations that were made and accepted by council for the Waterfront Nature Park respected and carried out.
There was work scheduled for the West Breakwater. Now, we already knew that there were going to be trucks going out there to drop off huge rocks.
Yeah.
Are there going to be any negative environmental impacts by the creation of that road out there to do that work?
Well, of course. The headland, which is right now not very nice because over the past years, the town has spread various things, various poor soils. They drive in and out. There was an attempt to grass seed it, and it's been allowed to degenerate. It's going to be completely flattened, I think, when the West Breakwater is refurbished. Apparently, it can't all be done by barge. I mean, the hope would have been that you could do all this from the water, but that can't apparently happen. And they do need to fix that breakwater. There's no question of that. It's deteriorating seriously. There will be great damage done to what's left of the nature on the headland. The main point is that once that is done and the West Breakwater is fixed, then working back from the end, we would like to see it reconstituted, refurbished, and improved. For example, about 10 years ago, the then one of the directors of public works carted a whole lot of broken cement with rebar into it out to the end of the West Headland and dumped it there. And it's still there now, and it's terribly ugly. And the lovely big riprap rock that was used to surround it, the end was all dumped with this broken cement. Now, it'd be a terrible job to get that back out, but it can be covered up. A tract of rock can be put on top of it. Plantings can work their way back. You don't have to have a straight track going out that looks like a landing strip. You could have a nice S-shaped walk, wide enough for a truck to go in and out in order to empty garbage and stuff, because you know the public works people can't be expected to walk out and empty garbage and things. But all this has been thought out, and there are ways around it too. The idea is to, after the damage has been done, trucking in tons of rock, is to then restore the area and make it better than it's ever been, which will not be hard to do.
Are you worried about the future of the West Beach and this naturalized area? How deeply
yes,
are you
worried
about
it? Yes, very much so, yeah. Well, in the 90s, the Vivian Brownell did a report where she pointed out that the Cobourg West Beach is the last beach with its great integrity preserved between Toronto and Presque Isle. It's the only little patch left. And since COVID, that beach was more or less ignored. So it was in pretty good shape. But when COVID came, when our main East Beach was closed down, everybody discovered the West Beach. And the ecology is so fragile that walking over it does great damage to the wormwood and scrub and to the type of alpine flowers and things that grow there. So what you don't want in a beach like that is unlimited wandering through. You want paths where people can get down to the beach from the boardwalk, but you want to control access to the area and keep people from running their dogs. I mean, by all means, walk dogs on leashes. By all means, walk the boardwalk, walk down to the beach itself, the Pebble Beach, on chosen pathways. But we can't have people just wandering. We can't preserve the natural integrity of the area and have people just walking wherever they want down there.
You've referenced this a couple of times in our conversation so far, and I'd like to go back to it. And that's when the town restructured its governance model, it got rid of advisory committees. Now, this was a place where citizens had a voice. What has this loss meant to your group?
Well, this is my personal opinion, getting rid of things like the advisory committees is crackers. You have a mayor and a deputy mayor and five councillors, and they can't all be experts in everything from botany and zoology to cement, and the building codes. Everybody can't know everything, and they can be good people but have lacunae, areas they know nothing about. So to mitigate that situation, you have committees that can advise them. They don't have to do it, the advisory committees tell them, but you've got committees of people that do know something about an area who could advise council and make suggestions to them. And the fact that that could have been considered a bad idea to me is crackers. So getting rid of the Parks and Recreation Committee, where anybody could come into any of our meetings, any member of the public, and give us a little presentation on what they were worried about. And they did all the time. There were people that used to come in and they'd tell us all kinds of things and we'd discuss it. And then we'd make suggestions and we'd give advice. So getting rid of that is part of the problem, is that the public and the town governance seem to not necessarily be at loggerheads, but nobody seems, one side doesn't know what the other side thinks or does.
How have your group's appeals for involvement been met by the current council under this new system? I know that you've made calls for an ad hoc committee. How's that gone so far?
Well, it's hard to tell because we're going to find out this Wednesday. Everybody should watch the council meeting this Wednesday, because Councillor Mouton is going to put forth a motion where she asks the council to approve the creation of an ad hoc committee, which would have a number of members of the public on it, and the chairman, who's a member of the public, also key members of staff. It sort of would make up for the absence of the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee. I think it would be an excellent idea, and I hope that the motion passes. I'm not sanguine that it will, because in the past, many times when we're hoping one of these things will get voted in, it gets somehow at the last minute, things get changed and it gets voted down. But I'm hoping that on Wednesday, I don't think the mayor is against ad hoc committees. I think once he even said that he could tolerate that type of thing. So we'll see this Wednesday at the council meeting. We will find out whether the town accepts the proposal, which seems like an extremely sensible one to me, to have some kind of a committee where the public and the staff can work together.
The last time you made a presentation to council, there was a decision to create a staff report on the situation and what was going on and what's being proposed. Why is a staff report not good enough for you?
Well, who reads the staff report? Who knows about it? Supposing the staff make a report and the public knows more about certain issues than they do. How does the staff know what the public want in this town? Do the staff members that make these decisions, do they live in Coburg? Are they Coburg people that use the beach and the boardwalk and walk the headland every day? Or are they very capable out-of-town people that may not have the same passions? I mean, I just don't think it's a good idea not to have an open thoroughfare between the staff, public works, and the very and the public. The lack of a newspaper is a big problem. We used to, there'd be articles in the newspaper, and then there'd be meetings, and people would know about it, and everybody would put their oar in. But now, unless you are terribly computer literate and have lots of time to watch websites constantly to try to find out what's going on in the labyrinthine depths of Victoria Hall, a lot of this stuff goes by the board. So that's why reports are a bit like, royal commissions. They go into the black hole of Calcutta, never get acted upon, and they disappear forever.
Isn't this all really just a matter for the official plan? I mean, it looks after what should be done with land uses. I mean, why isn't it not just good enough to leave it all to the official plan and everybody go happily on their way?
Well, are things working all that well? I mean, why are you interviewing me? Haven't you heard that a lot of people aren't happy with what's going on? I mean, if we have an official plan, and the official plan has been approved by the entire public rather than by politicians, and everybody's behind the official plan, and it's being carried out, then, as you say, there is no problem. But find me a political jurisdiction where everybody knows and has had say into the official plan, agrees with it all, and it's being carried out. That's not very real. It doesn't happen that way.
Where does this go from here?
Well, I hope where it goes in this particular instance, I hope where it goes is to a successful outcome of the Wednesday council meeting, that we have a committee where the public will have liaison with vital key staff members, and we'll have a two-way street where everybody is informed and everybody has say. If everybody has their say and things are done democratically, then whether it goes the way you want or don't want, when it's over, you don't want to complain because you've had your say. So where it all goes, I'm hoping, is into what in the end is a more democratic system where the demos, the people, the public, actually has some say and some sway as well. If the majority of the people in the town would have liked to have seen a little bit of green wetland preserved, none of them knew about it. And quite often after the fact, everybody gets all riled up about it. And that's not a good way to do it, to do something and then face the public when they're mad. That can't keep happening. The way to do it is to get public acceptance first, whatever you're going to do, maybe do less than what you hope because the public doesn't want this. Have a thing where everybody's happy with it and then carry on. But it's the democracy part of it that's the key, is to give the demos, give the public some say in the inner workings of the town and what they're in, you know, public works. And, you know, I mean, we have a very good man, I think, in Brian Gertz, who's director, one of our two big main directors. And he's a person with ecological training working more carefully with someone like that, letting him know. I don't think Brian Gertz, I think he was surprised that everybody got so mad and was so upset about the dredging, because, had we known in time to make him realize how upset everybody was going to be, I think he might have, things might have been different, because it's a case of, you know, of the public and a good man ending up being at odds when it didn't have to happen that way.
Richard Pope, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Well, you're more than welcome.
That was Richard Pope, advisor to the Preserve Our Heritage Harbor Group.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.